You're listening to Social 545, where we discuss what's trending in social media and interview weekly guests. Now, here are your hosts, Saba Siddiqui and Carlos Gill.
Thank you. Welcome, Jeff, to Social 545, where we talk about what's trending in social media. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the invite from you guys. It is great to be on Blab. It is great to be with you fine people and talking about what's trending in social. I rarely get the opportunity to be a guest, as Saba and I were talking about, so I appreciate the invite. And also, I rarely get the chance outside of conferences to really talk about what's actually trending and happening out there. I just kind of read stuff and go about my day.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on. So we have like a packed show this week. We have most of the social platforms that we're going to talk about. And what are we going to start with today, Carlos?
You know what? Let's kick it off with Twitter. So Twitter just announced that a couple of things, actually, a few. So they have a new CEO, Jack Dorsey. They are going to potentially be expanding tweets beyond 140 characters. And they announced that they are going to integrate a buy button into tweets. So I think let's start with social selling. Let's start with integration of the buy button onto Twitter. And Jeff, I want to turn this over to you. Is this functionality that you're buying, no pun intended? And how do you see this kind of shifting the landscape of how business is going to be done going forward using Twitter?
Yeah, I think a lot of the new ad units that we're seeing across all of these social platforms are we're going to see some success with some and abysmal failure with others. So, you know, you look at the app install and how well that succeeded across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. It's been really a strong rollout across all these different sites, especially given the high usage of mobile. But I think a buy button is going to be one of those ones that, while it'll have a few wins here and there, and we may find the few areas where it really works, I think it's going to ultimately flop, because I don't think that that's why we come to social sites in the first place. Now, I think obviously when we're interacting with the few brands that we have, you know, a really strong affinity for, there's a possibility if it brings us to the buy page. So a good example, I'm a huge fan of Pumas. It's all I wear. In fact, check it. All Puma, all the time.
I've seen you wear the red ones at conferences in the past.
I got three pairs of the bright red ones. They're totally dope. So if a tweet came up that had a really awesome pair of red Pumas, I might consider buying it right there if I was given a discount because of one reason or another. But I think ultimately we browse through our streams so quickly, I think it's highly unlikely to be a successful, like, runaway success. It's not going to be what saves Twitter, but I think people will use it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily it's one of those features that saves Twitter by any means. But, you know, I'm actually buying on the buy button. And the reason why is because I think the world is gravitating more to omni-channel. And most recently, I've been at a couple conferences, Dreamforce being one of them, in which by the year, I want to say 2020, the average person is going to have more than 10 devices. And I think being able to be on Twitter, and let's say hypothetically, you're on Macy's Twitter account, and you see something that's on sale, being able to hit buy and not visit the website, I think what it's going to do is it's going to help brands be able to convert more of that social and online traffic. So again, I'm all in favor of it. Saba, what are your thoughts?
I think it's an interesting move. I don't think it's the right time, though. I think it's something that they should be integrating and pushing out strongly on their product. But whether right now is the right time, I'm not sure, right? So they're just permanently bringing back Jack. They're talking about changing one of the most important pieces of their product, which is their character count, right? Their stock is below, I think, what they IPO'd. It's $24. It might have actually closed 5% higher, but I'm not sure. There's just so much turmoil. And I think focusing on something like a buy button, which actually needs a lot of execution, needs a lot of partnership with big brands, is not the right time right now.
Can I push back on that?
Yeah. One second. You can push back in 1 second.
Okay, go for it.
But at the same token, for me as a consumer, I don't go on social to buy, it makes an impact, but I'm not going to make a buying decision in my thread, whether it's in Facebook, whether it's in Twitter, whether it's in Instagram, right? Social selling to me is about telling a story and doing something where I'm going to remember you when I go into the store, not I'm going to make a buying decision, right? It's very different than Amazon or a marketplace like Etsy. So for that reason, as a consumer, I don't think it would be something that I would buy into. And even if I'm not a consumer of it, and let's say I was, in terms of a product change at this time with everything else going on, I don't think it's the right execution time for them.
So I think that's an interesting perspective on it. And I can see where you're coming from. I personally think that now is the time where Twitter needs to move like 8 times this fast, personally. I think they need to not only roll out a buy button, they need to roll out a rent button. They need to roll out a sell button. They need to roll out every idea that they have and figure out what's actually getting traction. And the truth of the matter is, I've never understood this actually, is why not roll things out and try them? I mean, it's not like you're going to necessarily lose money on an idea. Nobody's going to leave Twitter because of a new button. But what you can get is a tremendous amount of information and feedback about what is and is not working. If we remember those early days of Twitter, there was no retweet. Hashtags were a thing that was made up by the community and used by the community. So why not just release things out into the wild and see what works? I'd love to see that a lot more. You know, another thing is you look at the interface of Twitter and it's been exactly the same forever in terms of the actual app. What I would love to see is a selection of different apps. So for instance, I'm a creator. I would rather see a quick way for me to tweet either a text post, a photo, or a video. Whereas you may be a news consumer, you want to see something that's more about lurking and following information and trends. I think they should just roll out a bunch of stuff.
Well,
I'm with you on that. I think that if Twitter wants to really position itself as a go-to content hub, and you know, we can talk here about the expansion beyond 140 characters, but if they really want to cement themselves as a content hub, you have to integrate some of that functionality. You know, I immediately start thinking of Uber. How amazing would it be if you had the Uber app on your phone and you go to Uber's Twitter account and you can request an Uber?
Yep.
And you see this already where through advertising, you can have a Twitter card. And if you can have a learn more, a view more button integrated into content, then a buy button should seamlessly be integrated. And where my mind starts to race, before I use Macy's as an example, imagine if you can view a Macy's catalog within a tweet and you don't have to leave their website. You know, there's value there. And I start to think of Pinterest, right? Pinterest already is going down that path where you can visit Nordstrom's Pinterest account. You can see a purse or a pair of shoes that you like. And from there, you can take an action and go to their website and you can immediately buy. I think if you can have that seamless integration within one app, then over time, you're going to have more attrition of users staying on your platform, which is what these social networks really need. You're going to have more people talking about your brand's content, which again, benefits the social network and the brand, i.e. the advertiser. And for the brand, it's going to help them potentially increase more sales that today they're losing by people clicking off and visiting their website and then not going forward and buying.
Well, I think there's two issues here, right? So one is whether Twitter should have a buy button, and when should Twitter implement the buy button, right? And so to your point, Jeff, where you talked about they should try all these things. So they tried the poll, right? Where they made a poll and they only allowed certain people to actually do it. Most of the feedback that I read was actually very negative, right? Like, why are they focusing on this? How is this gonna help get more users? What are we doing this for, right? Same thing. So they haven't fully executed that, but to an extent, they got feedback, right? Another example is Periscope. They bought Periscope pre-launch, right? There was all this hype, right? They let Meerkat happen. They let South by Southwest happen. They launched it. There was all this hype. And now, although it is finding its niche, it's not really going too mainstream, right? Because there's discoverability problems. There's troll problems. It's really hard to find what you're looking for, right? So some people might say it's really great that they acquired it for $100 million, mm-hmm. right? And they're trying to innovate just like they did with Vine, but they're not actually nurturing it. And they're not teaching people how to use the platform correctly or find the information, right? So I feel like in that case, it's done more harm than good for them, right? It's great that they have another channel to bring in users, but what did they do? Instead of allowing only people to be able to sign in with Twitter, what they did is they added the phone number, which increases trolls, which lowers more Twitter users, right? So I feel like execution is not a strong suit for Twitter. So unlike Facebook, who actually knows how to implement things correctly, right? Whether it's the right time or not, they know how to iterate quickly, right? Twitter has shown that they don't know how to execute well, right? So they should just wait until they actually know what they're doing and then roll it out. That's just personally. And I love Twitter. I absolutely love Twitter. But I mean, I've only been using it since February. I completely understand the value and I try to be an evangelist for the product. But in terms of like how they've handled, they couldn't even Periscope their own earnings call properly. It was terrible. If you watch that, they couldn't even use their own product, you know? So then they expect other
people. What happened there in that case?
Like in that case, they just literally had it sitting there and no one was managing it. No one was like being interactive with it. They weren't using it the way it was supposed to be used. And it just made them look so funny. Like it was like, you acquired this tool. You guys own this. You guys look like you guys are testing it out in test mode. You know, your own executive team isn't using it.
The biggest point you're bringing up is that really they are just abysmal at launching their own ideas and products. And to your point about Facebook, what Facebook has done so well is they're like, Twitter launched this idea, but they are shitty at it. Let's take that and do it better. So for instance, trending topics on Twitter have been the same for years. Look at what Facebook did with it by breaking it out into segments and giving us a little snippet of what's actually happening there. They killed Twitter on the trending topics. They implemented hashtags, it didn't go very far, fine. The news feed on Facebook, what is it? It's the Twitter home feed. They directly ripped it off, but they figured out how to implement it in a way where people are gonna use it. So I agree with you 100%, execution is the thing.
Yeah, we're gonna open up the seat. So if anyone has any specific comments about what we're talking about or has a question, feel free to call in. Go ahead, Carlos.
I think you guys are picking on Twitter.
I love Twitter.
I'm a big Twitter fan because of the ease. Yeah, I think Twitter is my favorite social network outside maybe Snapchat. Yeah. And I've been a huge proponent of Twitter for years because of two things that differentiate the platform out of LinkedIn and Facebook and all these other guys. One, that's the open search. You can go on Twitter and within seconds, you can find people or you can find brands that are talking about a topic that's relevant for you. So there's a lot of value in that. And the second is that Twitter is what I like to call the no bullshit social network. You have 140 characters to get your point across, right? And as we kind of transition into the next topic within Twitter, which is expansion of 140 characters, I firmly believe that Twitter should keep that core functionality in place. You rolled out with 140 characters. That's what you're known at. And this is kind of the issue that I've had with social networks from the start of time, right? Social networks. Focus on what you're really good at, okay? And don't try to deviate from it. So I personally think it would be a bad move for Twitter to go ahead and go against the grain and now expand beyond 140 characters. What do you guys think?
I think it's a differentiator. It always has been. Sorry, Saba, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I think it's a terrible idea for them to change. Earlier, I did the tech news show, and what I'm gonna say the same thing that I said there, right? It doesn't matter what intention they had for Twitter, right? So Jack Dorsey has said, we were never married to the idea of 140 characters. It doesn't matter if you are not married, your users are married to it, right? And if you gave them the option between more characters and less characters, most of the actual users are going to choose less characters because they want less noise and they want people to actually be able to talk in 140 or less characters, right? And so it's a terrible idea to decide that I'm going to become Facebook or short form medium. Right. The only exception to this is if it excludes links, that would be really nice. It would be more of like a hack versus like a product change. Right.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think if they're going to change it, what they should do is take usernames, hashtags and links out of the character count. Then maybe I'd be OK with it. But the 140 characters is what makes it beautiful to me. It's almost like a haiku, like changing the format of a haiku. It's no longer a haiku. And what differentiates Twitter is that it's 140 characters. But just to play devil's advocate on it, you know, really just to kind of flip it on its head. Now, mind you, I'm a Twitter loyalist. I'm a Twitter original. It's my favorite network. But if this is the Henry Ford quote, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse, right? So yeah, we want it to be the same. We want it to stay 140 characters. We don't want our beloved Twitter to change. But look at what Facebook does. Facebook really doesn't give two shits about what we want. They're going to do something and we're going to accept it. And that's how the network is going to evolve and change. And a lot of the time I've disagreed with that. A lot of the times, thousands upon thousands of users have disagreed. But we can't deny that over the course of the lifespan of Facebook, it's become a better product. And while we look at Twitter, it's a pretty stagnant product in the, you know, the lexicon of social sites. It really hasn't done much to evolve. So does it need to be more than 140 characters? I mean, has the increasing direct message limit bothered you in the same way that would if it was the home feed?
I think that
for me, honestly, I haven't noticed a difference with direct messaging. I was afraid I was going to be bombarded with people spamming me and soliciting me. And, you know, quite frankly, I think it's made the ease of communication that much better between people that I really want to connect with. You know, I use direct message every day throughout the day as an alternative to text, as an alternative to email, as I do with even Facebook Messenger. So for me, it's helped more from a utility standpoint. And I haven't really seen the spam. And, you know, I'm with both of you guys. I think the character limit should stay at 140. You know, someone in the chat said before, if you can't say what you have to say within 140 characters or with a video, you know, and they bring up a very good point. So, Saab, I know you've got a point to add to that. And we've got Cheval that's joining us that wants to chime in as well.
Yeah, so, go ahead, Cheval. Ladies first. It's fine. It's fine. We can't hear you.
All right, looks like Cheval, we still are not able to hear him, unfortunately. If anyone wants to jump in before we switch gears, if anyone wants to jump in and comment on Twitter, we'd love to have you in the seat. I know, Saba, you had something to build.
I don't remember what I had to say, but I'm a huge fan of Twitter, right? And I'm not actually an early adopter of Twitter. I had my account in 2012. I used it for about 2 months. Because I was seeing someone who used it and that was the only reason. And then I got off of it and I never thought twice about going back. And the only reason I went back is because after doing research, I realized it's the main way that people connect with each other and the main way that they develop relationships. It wasn't LinkedIn. It wasn't, you know, Facebook. It wasn't Instagram. It's Twitter, right? Because you can engage with the content that they're putting out there, which is what they actually care about. And so I think for that reason, I feel really passionately about, you know, them wanting to change the character count or, you know, what their new CEO is going to be like or these buy buttons, because it's going to affect my experience as a user, right? And there's already so much noise and there's already so much chaos. And I think sometimes they're focusing on the wrong product changes, right? And they're not actually, I mean, I always quote this, but Chris Acca's post, right, about how can they tell their story is so important, right? Like they're not even telling people why they should be using Twitter. They just keep adding product changes when people don't even know how to use the basic product, right?
Yeah.
I see the Cheval John is, he's back. So Cheval, what's happening? Welcome to Social 545.
Thanks guys. Thanks for having me. I totally agree. I mean, I think it's really a joke if they increase the characters, because it basically takes out the creativity of people who want to, like, you know, get a message. Because if they're showing how to be creative when they're putting out messages on Twitter, that can like increase their value as at the same time as well.
Yeah,
I totally agree. Jeff, do you have any builds on that?
Yeah, I've always felt that the 140 character limit, much again like a haiku, encourages people to be creative. And just on a personal note, I can say that as a loyal Twitter user, somebody who uses it for the past, you know, 5 or 6 years or however long I've been using it, longer than that actually at this point. Holy shit, it's been a long time. Anyway, I've found that it actually has made me a better communicator in life, because I've learned to take my ideas and communicate them in smaller fragments. I actually wrote an entire blog post at one point in 140 character chunks, just 140, 140, 100 throughout the whole blog post. You know, I definitely would be sad to see it change, because I do think that one of the problems I've had with Twitter over the years is that it increasingly looks more and more like Facebook. It increasingly looks more and more like every other network. Instead of carving out its niche, and Saba, to your point, telling its own story about why people should use Twitter instead of Facebook, or why they should use Twitter regardless of Facebook, that it's its own thing and it's its own beast.
Right. And there's so much actually irony within that. So we're going to cover the Facebook changes that are they're rolling out right now. And actually, one of the features that they're adding is that the new Facebook profiles are going to have 100 character bios, right? And then they're centering things and they're making things more interactive. And you're like, so Facebook is ripping off Twitter, and then Twitter is ripping off Facebook, and they're both competing. And it's just this weird, not even competition, but they're just both changing their product in weird ways. And they're almost mirroring each other, right? So at the end of the day, what if they just became the same platform? Right? Like,
oh God, this... no, please. God, no, please.
Well, they're not. Well, they're not, but I'm just saying, like, obviously we have different social channels because there's different ways that we're putting out content, right? Like Instagram is strictly visual. Twitter is like strictly like, you know, text and links. Facebook is more kind of a personal social network where you're putting out more life events, right? I don't talk about things that I talk about on Facebook on Twitter, right? And vice versa. So I think it's interesting. And as we get into the next topic, which maybe this is a perfect transition to.
Yeah, let's transition into it. Cheval, thank you so much. We're going to open the seat back up, but thank you so much for dropping by on Social 545.
Oh, let me say, just one more thing to Saba. It's interesting you bring up that point, because the fact that they keep ripping each other off, because truth be told, Facebook would not be where they are today had they not stolen the in-stream ad from Twitter. That was a Twitter original, that the in-stream ad came first. And that is like 40 to 60% of their revenue right now. They're slated to make something like $3.4 billion in mobile revenue next year. And that's purely a Twitter idea. I just think it's hilarious that they keep ripping each other off and they keep going the opposite directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys can see it. This is the new interface for the Facebook mobile app. And as soon as I saw this, and you can see I have a bio. As soon as I saw this, I started thinking of Twitter. And I'm not gonna lie, I like the interface change. Again, I'm a big Twitter fan. My issue that I've always had with Facebook is the newsfeed algorithm, in which I miss content from people that I really want to engage with. Facebook controls the algorithm. They essentially manipulate and control who sees my content. And that I have an issue with.
Yeah,
I'm with you 100%.
I'm going to actually, I'm going to link up the article that I want to focus on. So Carlos, show the new Twitter profile again.
So here it is. I just want to say, what's up to Grant Cardone, who's joining us.
Yeah, and he's all over social media. Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, Meerkat, Blab. I mean, he's on all of them. But just to highlight the five things that they're changing. So the first one is the option to pin featured photos to the top of your profile. The second is a temporary profile picture. The third is the 100 character bio. The fourth is actually centered profile picture, and it's usually been to the left. And then the fifth one is the ability to do a 7-second looping video for your profile picture, which is a lot of new features, right? If you think about it. So I guess, Jeff, what are your thoughts on all these new product feature or product changes and the dynamic ways you can sort of like, you know, look at a profile picture? They really care about this profile picture, obviously. No love for the banner.
I mean, I got to be honest, maybe I'm just a cynic at this point. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I'm like the curmudgeon old grandfather in the room, but I don't care. It's a different layout. Who cares? Is it like my life has not gotten any better or worse as a result of any of the profile changes, with the exception of the timeline, which I think is an interesting yet poorly rolled out idea. I thought timeline would be awesome if we had timeline and wall. So your wall was where you could like interact with people and whatever, and your timeline was where you kind of told your story. I thought that would have been a great idea. But regardless of that, okay, so now we have a 7-second looping video. It's irrelevant to me. I just put up your freaking picture. The centered profile picture. Okay, great. So now all of the assets that I've created, I have to recreate new assets now. And for all of my clients, I have to do that. So it's just more work. And for
it's like
what?
When Apple changes the charger, you know? You're like, oh,
yes, exactly.
Yep.
What is the purpose? So like, I don't get that. And the 100 character bio, fine. But like, I mean, isn't the purpose of your profile to tell your story? Yeah.
Well, what I notice is every single time you get used to using one of these social networks, they change the game on you.
Yep.
They change the game to your point. Like now as a creative, as an agency that you run, True Voice Media, Jeff, you have to now start working with your clients to change their cover photos. All the layouts different, you know, with, again, going back to the algorithm, that Facebook algorithm drives me insane and up a wall. Like, I totally get it. They're an advertising platform. They want you to spend money with them in order for your content to be seen. But hey, I'm a regular person. I'm friends with you. I'm friends with Saba. I want to see your content. Okay. So why is it that Facebook selects and chooses whose content is in my feed?
I think it's obvious why they do it. Sorry, Saba, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say that the one thing, and it calls back to something that Saba, you had said earlier, though, about, you know, Twitter had rolled out this poll and they tested it and it didn't get very good feedback. What I thought was, you know, really interesting, and it ties into what you're talking about, Carlos, is, you know, the algorithm was something that got a lot of feedback negative when it was called EdgeRank and people bitched and moaned. And Facebook said, well, we offered the ability to create lists, but we saw that people didn't use them. Well, I'm a big list maker. And you know what I found? That it was 5 or 6 clicks to get to the lists, and it was very cumbersome to create them. So it was self-selecting data to say, like, oh, the list thing doesn't work. Like, if you look at Twitter, I love lists. I can't exist on Twitter without them, but it's 5 or 6 clicks. Yep. Clicks. So, you know, yes, the newsfeed has been successful for them. It's obviously been an amazing advertising platform, but I, much like you, have always had the biggest problem with them selecting what I can see. And now they're giving you options to say, show this first, or this person's important. I'm like, you know, stop making it like 8 different clicks so I can continue using your system. Just let me use my system.
So is it safe to say, guys, that you cannot build a mansion on rented land when you take the whole social landscape into account?
Hold on. Let me make my comments about Twitter lists and Facebook first before you go into this debate.
No, I'm with you, Jeff. You know, I'm a big fan of Twitter lists. I'm a big fan of indexing who I follow and who I engage with.
Okay.
In fact, I've started a Twitter list for Blab.
Okay. So,
but
what?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I completely understand the function of Twitter lists. What I don't understand is how hard it is to make these lists, to manage these lists, and to add people to these lists. I cannot keep up with it. It's not intuitive. And unless you are very, very dedicated, like you and Carlos obviously are, and I feel very dedicated to Twitter, right? Or I have TweetDeck and I live on TweetDeck and I have 4 screens in front of me at all time, how am I supposed to effectively use lists?
I have a tool that you can use. I'll be happy to put it right here in the
little
thing. It's called tweetb.at. And it is kick ass because you can copy from one list to another. So what I've done is the way that I structure my list is typically in hierarchies. So I'll have sort of like people as my hierarching category of peoples. And then under that, I might have clients, prospects, friends, hot list, industry peers, people I met on Blab, conference people. And then I might have newsfeed as a hierarchy. And I might have inside of that politics, sports, social media, et cetera, et cetera. And I use TweetBeat so that I can continually do that. You know who got it right, and it's a shame, is Google Plus. The circles was the easiest way to organize people. The problem was that they were trying to climb 2 hurdles, which is one, making people make lists, which is hard enough. But the second and more important one is use another social network with no clear distinguishing feature.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Drop
Let's
the hammer.
Prop up our guest, Jeff Gilbert, for that.
We're going to
give you some love.
No, I'm with you. So. So
can someone ditch that? Oh my God.
for me, how I use lists and how I'm sure a lot of others out there are, let's go to the basics of how we use Twitter. For me, Twitter's where I go to get my news. And I'm not just talking about traditional news media type content, right? But it is my Mashable. It is my ad week. And I have lists specifically for different news agencies, different publications. But with people, I've got my social media influencers list. To Jeff's point, I have one called Social Media Cool Kids, which is people I've met at conferences and people who I want to see their content. So what's the easiest way for me to sift through the noise on social media? It's creating lists. It's having that go-to resource where I can cut out all 40,000 people plus that I follow and have a very targeted, no pun intended, list of people and their content.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not underestimating the function of a list because I completely understand it. I just wish it was easier, and maybe I'm lazy and maybe I should be less lazy, but maybe the tool that he linked up will be helpful. On the point of Facebook and the changes and things like that, the thing I don't really understand is like the 100 character bio, because for me, I don't even want people that don't know me to connect with me, right? So I don't want to tell them about me. I don't even want to pique interest. Okay, like I used to change my name on Facebook.
But you're so interesting.
I am very interesting, but you can connect with me on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Twitter. Those are the places where strangers can connect with me. Facebook is very specific for people that I already know. And so I don't really understand that part of it, right? Like, I don't want people that I went to elementary school to know, like, my Twitter description. That's just like, that's pretentious. That doesn't look cute, you know? I'm like the dorky seventh grader with curly hair that they knew that was chubby. Like, I'm not this girl who like does live video, right? So I think that like they're kind of blurring the lines of how people are using it. And they used to be so bullish about making sure there was like all these privacy functions, because just in case like your aunt followed you and then you got a boyfriend on Facebook, like she wouldn't know about it, you know? And now they're completely like overhauling all of that. So I'm a little bit confused.
So I want to acknowledge a question here from Omar. And his handle is legit. It's the worst username ever. And I'm sure Omar is a very amazing, nice person.
He is a good friend of mine, Carlos.
So before we get to Omar's question, if all 32 of you watching could tell a little bird, so we can get as many people over the next half hour to come jam out with us.
Because we haven't even gone to the juicy stuff yet.
We haven't gotten the juicy stuff, which is why Mr. Gibbard is here with us this evening. So you don't want to miss that. But Omar's question here, he says, I'm curious to know, what are the panel's preferred social media apps and whether you'll use each app for different purposes or post the same thing in all platforms to gain viewers, which I think is a very relevant question. I want to start with you, our guest, Jeff. So to sum it up, what's your favorite social media app and are you repurposing the same content across the board to all your social networks?
So I would say Twitter is my favorite app. I can't say it's the one that I use the most, but it is absolutely my favorite app. And I definitely choose my content wisely to go across all different channels. But I do tend to post a lot of the same stuff across different ones because my audience is very much a lot of the same people, but they follow me on different channels for different reasons. So there are things that I will post across all three, but then there's things that I'll only post on one or I'll only post on another. So if I have a fleeting kind of dumb thought, it's probably more likely going to go on Twitter or Snapchat than it is Facebook, and even more appropriately, not on LinkedIn. But if I have a white paper that I've just authored, I'm likely going to put it on all three because I have an audience that exists on all three of those channels. So I use all of them, but I definitely prefer Twitter above all else.
Okay.
Cool.
How about you, Sada?
So I agree, right? So I actually have different audiences on all of my social platforms because I don't push them through each one. But I have focused. So for content about my personal life, it's mostly on Snapchat as well as Instagram, right? So that's where you're going to find what I'm doing, who I'm doing it with. In terms of content creation, I try to use the social platform that is going to give me the most for my time, right? And that's why I use Blab, right? I don't spend time writing blogs. I don't spend time connecting with people on LinkedIn as much as I do. I'm on Blab and I am putting out content that I can talk about so that I can bring in the right audience that wants to talk to me about it and wants to engage with me. So for me, the ROI of Blab is so high. And I think that's what a lot of people should focus on. Instagram is an amazing platform, right? Amazing platform for brands as well as personal brands, right? But the problem is that the ROI to create content is extremely high, right? You have to create the picture, has to be amazing. Then you have to figure out that really awesome, engaging caption. Then you have to go find those hashtags you want to use. And then you have to go find the accounts you want to follow, right? Obviously, you don't have to do all those things, but that's how you do it correctly, right? Now I can do the same thing, right? I can go on Blab for 1 hour, create amazing content. I can take 5 sections of this video, put it on YouTube, put it on Twitter, right? I can blog about the things that we've talked about, and there's so much more that I'm getting out of it, right? There's depth. And so I think that people have to think about what they're trying to do. What is their end goal, right? If you want people to just know like when you're waking up and like where you're having dinner, like make your content on Snapchat, right? But if you want people to learn from you, and if you're trying to establish yourself as some sort of thought leader in anywhere, any place, you have to figure out where you can get the most out of. And I think live video is where it's at. So
I'm going to show you guys. And Carlton, welcome to Social 545. We'll get to you here in a moment. So I'm going to show you guys the home screen of my iPhone, right? I can't make this up. You see the app right there. It is Snapchat. So I have all the social networks I'm on. Snapchat is on my home screen as the number one app I go to. And the reason why I go directly to Snapchat is because that is my escape. This is hashtag real talk. That is my escape from this. It's my escape from all social media. It's where I go to be Carlos. It's where I go to tell a story. And it's where you can follow me throughout the day from the time I wake up, get in the car, go to work, get home, and then call it a night. And outside of that, I'll agree to all of your points. How you use these social mediums, it's all different, right? It should vary. You should not have a one-size-fits-all strategy for social media. The content that you post on all of them is going to vary because your audience should vary. And let me just break it down real quick how I view it. LinkedIn is your online Rolodex, okay? It's your business Rolodex, but it's also where your professional presence lives. Think of it like your online resume. Twitter, outside of Snapchat, Twitter is where I'm going throughout the day. I have major FOMO and I don't want to miss who's posting what on Twitter. It's where I'm going to exchange very quick messages, rapid fire, back and forth. Facebook, it's my online diary. Let's face it. It's where I'm going and I'm posting what's happening, what my mood is, what's going on in my life. It's where I might go to vent to some friends, or in this case, a lot of friends. And then Instagram. Instagram has a very special place in my heart because for me, that's the hallmark card of social media. To your point, Saba, people are posting maybe one photo throughout the day. Everything is doctored. It's manicured. Everything looks good. Like, people aren't going on their event or to complain. They're putting just really nice looking photos. And I like that. It's like a nice escape from the drama and the manifestation of venting that you see that happens on Facebook nonstop.
You're going to prom when you go to Instagram, right? And you're just like going to class and you're going to Twitter, right? You're just like showing up, right? You're not dressing up like... You don't have to have something to say. You don't have to have something to wear. You just kind of, you get a feel for what's going on, right? But you're going to get dressed up when you're on Instagram because people are going to see that post, right?
Exactly. And with that, Carlton, welcome to Social 545. What's happening?
It's all good. Thank you very much. I just thought I'd pop in and join the conversation real quick. I'm in Jefferson City, Missouri. And just getting used to this lab thing. If I'm still on, my screen is freezing up. I'm joining you with my smartphone on my Galaxy Note 3.
Nice, product nice. Placement. So what's nice product placement. What's your favorite social app?
That's a tough question. Facebook is awesome when you know how to use it right, when you build relationships, build a following, and use that to really cultivate relationships, really solid. I'm all about Snapchat. I act stupid on Snapchat, and I'm the most entertaining goofball that there is on the planet. My timeline is hilarious. So I use Snapchat to further relationships, but to meet people and get a following. Twitter is awesome, more for business, for sharing content, sharing tips, sharing blog posts. But I spend the majority of my time on Facebook.
Awesome.
Awesome.
LinkedIn is... I should use LinkedIn more because
we
I'm
all
a keynote
say the
speaker.
Exact same thing about that. We all should use LinkedIn more.
You see, LinkedIn doesn't get enough love, and I think it should, because let's face it, at the end of the day, you know, we're all professionals, whether you own your own business or whether you work for a company, we all have jobs, and that is the professional right. social network. So the fact that people don't talk about it as much as they talk about the others, to me, is concerning, because I think it has a place. You can go on LinkedIn, there's over 360 million members. Connect and do business with people that you meet from there. These other networks, you're not necessarily going on there to poach people, to solicit them for what you do or to do business. You know, I could be wrong. You know, Jeff, you own your own agency. I'd love to hear your thoughts if I'm wrong. But I think, again, LinkedIn should get more love and mention than what it currently does.
I endorse everything that you just said.
I really appreciate that. Okay, we have 20 minutes. I want to keep the conversation moving. We have two really big topics that we have left, and I want to make sure that we address those. So the first one that we're going to talk about is actually one of the reasons why Jeff is on the show, because we wanted to have a debate about this. So there was a lot of controversy and just like a lot of mayhem on Facebook earlier this week, because there was sort of this chain Facebook status that was going around. And if people put it in their status, then it was, you know, by some means very credible. And it was all about the privacy of your content, right? And does Facebook own your content? Does it not own your content? Are they allowed to sell your content? Some people were very upset about this. Some people made it very clear that this is ridiculous. Why are we even talking about it? So let's start with Jeff, since he's our guest. What are your thoughts on this topic? And what approach do you think people should be taking when things like this come up?
So I think there's kind of two issues here. There's one, which is the chain letter bullshit. And I do not support that at all. I think people being, I guess, ignorant to what's going on and sharing things that are blatantly false or unsubstantiated is just a bad idea in general. But I think that the other side of it, and actually the reason why that I kicked off the conversation with Carlos, and Carlos, sorry for jumping down your throat on that. It was just really the way that I read what you said. It just struck a chord with me because I think it's important that we know what's in the terms of service as it relates to our data and privacy. I think that's extremely important. And more importantly, and the reason why I started the conversation with Carlos and having conversations with you, Saba, and other LinkedIn, or I'm sorry, social media professionals, is that it is actually our responsibility. This is my opinion. It is our responsibility as professionals in social media to care about what's in these terms of services and to care about data and privacy, because if we don't, the average user, the common person, my stepmom, my mom, my dad, my uncles, my anybody that I know that's over 45 that's not in this industry, is they don't know that this is happening. So it's our responsibility to know those things are happening. And if you look at the Facebook Messenger terms, they're creepy as hell. Like, they're legit creepy. And I'm not saying that Facebook's out to do anything nefarious, but I do think it's our responsibility to care about this.
So, Jeff, what is it specifically about the terms of service, though, that rubs you the wrong way?
So, good question. Specifically, if you look at the Facebook Messenger terms, for instance, and I have a little cheat sheet here that I can kind of consult about it because I want to make sure I had it ready. But, you know, Facebook can record your audio, take pictures or videos at any time according to the terms of service in your Facebook Messenger. Now, if we just leave it at that alone, that's creepy as hell. Now, imagine if the terms of service said that they could take any picture off of your camera roll and use it in advertising or just have access to it. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to do anything with it. But what I am saying is I know that I have at least 5 pictures on my camera roll right now that I don't want anybody seeing outside of the person who sent them to me. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
can
I think
tell us what they are, Jeff?
Yeah, they are photos of art. Beautiful art. The point is that I think we all are entitled to a certain amount of privacy in life, right? Like, I'm not saying that there's a couple of them on that are like kind of ridiculous. So, for instance, there was some hubbub when the like button first came out that Facebook was tracking us around the web. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm not so upset about that anymore. We get tracked by cookies. Google tracks us. All these web companies are tracking us in some way through cookies, retargeting, et cetera, et cetera. The like button, that's one that we should come to accept is not that big of a deal. They're probably going to use it to serve us more relevant advertisements based on where we've been. I'm fine with that. What I don't like is the idea that I'm not in control of when I'm sharing data. You know, the frictionless sharing was another good example. I didn't want what I was looking at to be automatically shared and seen as an endorsement. So those are the sort of things that I think it's important for us to make sure that we're aware of and that we're keeping tabs on, because it is our responsibility as people in this industry.
So yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with everything that you just said. I think we should care. However, does the average end user, including all of us right here that are watching and the four of us, do we really care enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to be on Facebook? And that was the point of my message was, look, for one, I agree with you. Chain letters, chain posts are bullshit. Okay. I don't want to see that. I don't want to log on and every other post I see is everyone saying the same exact thing. Yep. Okay. Number two is the day that you own a social network, then be concerned with how much money they're making. Okay. And be concerned with details that otherwise you shouldn't really be concerned about. Right, including how they use your information. And what I mean by that is that at the end of the day, we are end users. We are utilizing the tool. So just use the service and enjoy it. Okay.
I don't disagree with any of that, Carlos. Where I took issue in that whole post and where I came in on it that bothered me was, one, am I knowingly sharing the data? That's an important component of it. If I'm knowingly sharing the data and you want to use it, I've signed up for that. But if it's something that I don't know is taking place, that is something that I take issue. So, and the second thing about it that I took issue with was this idea that if we don't like it, our only options are to either accept it or to leave. And I think that what makes the entire social media landscape a better place, and especially if you think about what social media provides, it's a two-way dialogue. So if we're exposing a two-way dialogue through social media, and we're saying that in the world of using social networks, it's accept it or don't, and you have no say in it, we are taking away the very fabric of that which makes it social. So I think that the middle option is what I'm looking for, in that I don't want to leave Facebook just because of one thing. I don't want to delete Messenger because of a few shady things in the terms of service. What I want to say is, it would be more comfortable if I didn't have to agree to that to use a Messenger. I shouldn't have to let you have access to my social security number, let's say, so that I can send a message or a thumbs up to a friend of mine. I just think there's a line where it's reasonable and a line where it's not. And it's our responsibility to help keep that conversation going.
So there's a question in the chat that I want to address, and then it actually relays right into my answer. So how much more do we as an industry professionals need to learn about privacy and computer data in order to A, protect ourselves and our families, and B, protect our companies, clients, others who ask about this, right? So I think when it comes down to it, I agree with both of you, right? I think the conversation is necessary. I think the fact that we're having this dialogue, people are chiming in, it's completely necessary, right? I'm going to come out and say that I don't have the Messenger app on my phone and I don't have Facebook app on my phone, right? Why? Well, Messenger, the terms and conditions was extremely creepy for me, so I decided I didn't want it, right? Am I still using messages on the browser? Yes, I am, right? Am I still using Facebook? Yes, I am. But the thing is that I am aware that at the end of the day, no matter how much we talk about these things, like Carlos said, we're not going to get off of these social platforms, right? Because they have the social web and ecosystem that we are addicted to, right? We need this. And they are fully aware. They are our crack, and there's nowhere else we can get that crack, right? And so at the end of the day, we can have these conversations. They're really awesome. But the fact that people are posting these in chain letters and all these things, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And my rule has always been, if I don't want someone to know something about me, I won't post it on any social network, right? There's things about my private life that, I mean, I don't post, right? People don't know who all my friends are, right? I don't post about my friends on Snapchat. I don't post about them on Instagram, right? And that's a choice that I have, right? Does it make me less authentic, less transparent? Absolutely not, right? Because I'm still myself. And so I think that people trying to make their profiles extremely private, or, you know, filtering out everything, I mean, it's just unnecessary, because no matter what, even Snapchat as a platform that was supposed to be temporary pictures, you could take a screenshot, right? And if you didn't take a screenshot, you could have a picture, someone else take a screenshot of it, right? Mm-hmm. So no matter what, when you're using your mobile phone, when you're using your computer, you're getting tracked, because that is the digital age that we live in, and we just have to accept that. And us as social marketers, we take advantage of those things. So I don't know.
I'm going to agree with you on almost all counts. The one area where I would come into is, and I've always said the same thing, is that privacy begins with you. So if I don't want something online, it's my responsibility to not put on. However, this is where I think the terms of service conversation comes in. If in the terms of service, they can read my phone's call log, including info about my incoming and outgoing, they can read my contact data, record audio and take pictures. That's something that I consented to by downloading the app, but that's not something that I chose to share. And I think that for me is the line of where we're crossing over into a place that's kind of dangerous. And to John's point, that the question that came up about how much do we need to learn about data and privacy, think of it this way. Let's take best case scenario that they pull pictures off of our phones and they record video of us while we're doing things that we don't want them to record video of, and it just goes on their server and they have no nefarious purposes. That doesn't mean that hackers can't break in, take all of that and expose it. Look at Ashley Madison. They were supposed to be completely safe, right? For people that wanted to have affairs, those dirty scumbags. But at the same time, their data was exposed, not by any fault of Ashley Madison, other than probably not being secure enough. So I think that's kind of where the line again is that even if the network has the most integrity in the world, they may not have the best security in the world. And just because you don't share something, if the terms of service allow them to take it and it gets stored on their server, you're at risk for something that you didn't ask to put out there.
Yeah. And actually, yeah. Someone says in the chat, they said, love your answers. But the reason that people were sharing those protection statuses are because they are scared, right? And then you guys can read the rest of it. But he's true, right? There are so many people that are not, I don't want to use the word ignorant, but they're uneducated, right, about the digital world and how things work, right? They think that because their profile is private and because they only have, you know, 15 friends on there, those are the only people that are seeing their data, right? And to me, I think in a world where it's 2015 and social networks are so mature, I mean, I feel like we need to have a little bit more of a progressive standpoint on how these things are actually being used, right?
So I want to go ahead and jump in. Jeff, I want to introduce you to Jason Horton, who's here in the fourth seat. Jason is a world-renowned...
He's
a YouTube star.
Yeah, where are our props? Like, we've been here for 45 minutes talking to everyone.
Jason has over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So, Jason, I want to ask someone who has been seen millions of times on the internet.
Billions.
Who has last time I was over millions. Has over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. What is your stance on privacy?
Okay. So, you know, just like how you talk about Twitter is like how I feel about Facebook. I literally never look at my Twitter feed ever. Zero times. I only use it. It's a separate thing, but I'd use it to favorite things and if I retweet things or share things. But with Facebook, I noticed that people get on Facebook and they get on there not from a charitable place. It's a very look at me, look what I'm doing, let me share what I'm doing. And I would like attention for it. I would like you to like it. And I would like you to comment. And of course, Facebook would like that too. But then they go, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then when Facebook's like, oh, well, we might use your stuff for people to look at you. They're like, wait a minute. No, you can't look at me. And then people will post this thing. It's like, listen, my stuff's very, very important. This is really cool stuff. Facebook, you can't use it. And it's like Facebook is optional and it's free. If you, the government isn't like, you're so awesome, you have to be on Facebook because the world needs your photos and statuses and pictures of your salad and you and your dumb friends at Disneyland.
Actually, they asked me.
Yeah, well, but you know what I mean? You're an exception. So people have, I mean, of course, I live in Los Angeles and there's just a lot of like people on there that are very, I am one of those look at me people though. I want, cause I have a, you know, maybe not my personal page, but on my fan page, it is look at me, look at my videos, look at my stuff. I want you to take it. I want you to share it. I want you to do it. The reason that it's there. And it's almost like if somebody, a girl or guy sends a nudie picture and it's like, ha, I sent you a nudie picture over an unsecure line to your phone. How come other people look at it? Don't send the picture. Like, you know what I mean? Like you'll never see a pee-pee picture of me ever because I will never ever send one. So I will never have to worry about people seeing things I don't want to see because I don't share it. So they spend so, they'll be like, here's this disclaimer, don't share my stuff. And sandwiching between that is like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at this, me, 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 me. And also, please validate me on all those counts. P.S. Don't you dare Facebook try to share my stuff without me knowing about it as if your stuff is so great. That's my overall take. Beside the stuff with like the creepy stuff, beside that, in a general sense, that's what I think.
I just want to point out that if we just take this video recording and we just chop out all three of us and we just have Jason, he just did like a Facebook monologue.
Like, yeah.
He totally did.
So, I mean, aside from the fact that I disagree with parts of it, I see your premise.
Yeah, yeah. It's people have this social media, no matter what it is, have this thing as if like what they're doing is it's so great. And so, cause it's important to me. It must be important to everyone who's following me and anyone else who sees it by default. It's so great and wonderful. And it's very, very precious. And no, it's not. Like it's really not. So that's, I guess, my take on it.
I just want to give pop culture he has really funny gifs in there. Just
yeah. You know, my thing is always this, right? I've been saying this for years to people. Once you get on social media, there should be zero expectation of privacy. I don't care how much you have your profile set on private. It is up to you as an individual and as an adult, okay, to monitor the content that you put. So if you don't want your employer to see something, if you don't want information to leak and get out, just don't post it. And for these people that say, well, these are my photos, I should be able to own what I put on my Facebook. No. The last time I checked, you do not own Facebook. And when you sign up, again, back to your point, Jeff, when you sign up for these mediums, you are agreeing, okay, that the content that you're putting on their platform is owned by them. Again, you cannot build a mansion on rented land. And I think that is what people really need to be more conscious and mindful of is, again, they're not going away. You're not going to get off the platform. Going back to the original discussion, Jeff, you're not going to get off the platform because of the terms of service. So at a very minimum, be mindful of what you post.
And people are not.
Yeah, I would agree and disagree with that, though. Sorry, I have to just agree and disagree with that. So to be clear, I have no issue with when you post something. I have no issue with that. Facebook, use it. I'm with you, Jason. Look at me. That's what this is all about, right? I'm talking about the things in the terms of service that give access to things that you're not giving consent for, which is why Saba doesn't have Facebook Messenger. And it's why she doesn't have Facebook. And I just don't think that it's overboard to say, I don't want those sort of things in the terms of service. And if you're not going to use it, then why is it in the terms of service? Why can't you make a terms of service agreement that allows me to feel more comfortable? I'll post things. And if you, and even if I set it to private, if that turned out public, I am of the assumption that if I put something online, it is no longer private. What I'm taking issue with is that the things in the terms of service that make exceptions and allowances for things that I haven't given consent to even be published. That's where I think the line is for me.
You know, I
Vincent, you keep saying, hold on, Vincent, in the comments, you keep saying it. I get it. They're not taking over my phone. They're not Big Brother. They're not going to use it. I get it. It's still in the terms of service. And that's what is the problem here. It shouldn't be. It doesn't need to be. If they're not trying to take over my phone, use my audio, use my video, it shouldn't be in the terms of service. It's that simple. And then I don't have to get out.
All right, so I'm extending an invitation to Vincent.
I'll step out. I just want to say one thing real quick. People, the most they're willing to do is copy and paste the status to take their stand is literally the most they're willing to do and not willing to change their behavior at all because that's how much they want to keep posting their stuff. So the most they're willing to do is cut and paste like they're some kind of hero or lawyer. Thank you guys for having me on.
Jason, we love you.
Later, Jason.
Thanks. We have a lot of great people in the chat. Please call in and chime into this conversation. I mean, obviously
Furkan of Blab, he just joined us. Welcome, Furkan.
Oh, hey, what's up? It would actually be interesting to hear what his thoughts are because they're building out a really public platform, right? They're actually saying no private blabs, right? We want everything to be public and we're allowing you to record, right? So you can capture your information, but we don't want anyone to go behind closed doors and have webinars and secret blab hangouts and all this stuff. So I would be interesting if he has time, if he could jump in, that would be a cool perspective because I think that's where we're going, right? Transparency. I mean, in the beginning it was like, you know, oh, I don't have Snapchat. Oh, like, wait, what is that thing on your phone? You use that? Oh my God, that's weird, right? And then it was like, okay, just give it to your friends, right? Because your friends are not going to judge you. And then it was like, well, oh, you have Snapchat? Oh, I have Snapchat. And then now it's like people's Snapchat picture is like their profile picture. You're just like,
yep.
You know? And so.
Well, now it's like, well, what's wrong with you if you're not on Snapchat? What are you hiding, right? Like that's the other side of it. Is when folks don't want to be on a social network, like my mind immediately starts racing to like, well, why don't you want to be on it? Do you have some skeletons in your closet that you don't want people to know about you?
Yeah.
I love totally. When people, when I would tell them I'm on Snapchat, they'd be like, what is it? So you can send dick pics and, or like, you know, so you can send like nudies or get nudies. I'm like, no, if I'm going to send someone, I'll just text it to them because I'm of the belief I don't want it to disappear. If I'm going to send it to you, I've made that choice. Keep it.
Yeah.
This has been an excellent conversation, guys. We have a couple minutes left. I have a feeling, Jeff, that you're going to come on Social 545 again.
Anytime you want, man. Anytime. I've dug it. It's good stuff. You guys are great hosts. Great topics too.
Thank you. I mean, luckily the social world is there's a lot trending all the time. So there's always hot topics that are usually pretty controversial, right? So
like the comment here, you know, living off the grid for a reason to hide, you know, going back to that Facebook point. Let me ask you guys this question. When someone says to you they're not on Facebook, what comes to mind?
Sketch.
Really? Like, why?
Yeah, right? It's like, can you trust someone if they're not?
Did you step out of a time machine?
Let's hypothetically, if I meet a guy and I'm like, and then I'm like, I would never say, do you have a Facebook? But if I can't find his Facebook, I am going to be extremely skeptical. I'm going to be like, well, how do I stalk him? Like, how do I know that's even his real name? I mean, it's just, I think we've, and I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, right? Because I've deactivated my Facebook when I was so obsessed with Instagram that I thought Facebook was going to actually die. I completely take that back. But the thing is I think that we've gotten so hardwired to be able to track someone's digital footprint that when they say they don't have a social platform, we automatically don't give them the benefit of the doubt, right? We don't say, oh, they really respect their privacy. We say, oh, well, that's weird. Maybe they have something to hide, or maybe they don't want us to see something, right? Because you can have those profiles, right? You can have a Facebook, you can have all of these profiles or accounts, but you don't have to put out content, right? But I mean, having them is not going to harm you. So for me, that's kind of how I see it.
Yep. Absolutely. So we're getting to the top of the hour. Thank you so much to Jeff Gibbard of True Voice Media for jamming out with us. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Gibbard. And Jeff, any closing notes before you sign off?
Real talk, this has been a lot of fun. You've sold me on Blab. I've enjoyed myself very much. I will come back anytime. And when I have a show, trust me, you guys will be on it. Saba, you should be on my podcast. Ask Carlos. It's a good time.
Amazing.
All right. That sounds good. We'll definitely stay connected. I want to thank everyone who was in the audience the whole time. We've had a jam-packed hour. We had a lot of great comments. I'm sorry if we didn't get to read out your comment. There was a lot of valuable feedback in there. I tried to keep track as best as possible. And someone actually told me that right after I finish talking, I my head goes down and I'm moving and I'm doing other things. I'm not listening to the other people on the screen, but really I'm just trying to engage. So thank you for everyone for tuning in. We're going to be here next week. I'm going to drop the link. We're going to have Jason Keith from Social Fresh. And then we also have our two other guests lined up for the following weeks as well. So we have a jam-packed month for October and I'm super excited. So I hope everyone tunes in.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Social.
Before we all leave, yeah. Good. I got one more thing. I posted this link twice in the comments. And I also Saba posted it to you. I wrote an article called Rethinking the Future of Twitter. It's like a 4,500 word post where I have rethought the entire future of the Twitter interface, the Twitter app, new apps called Hashchat, a new app that's a channel guide. I rethought the entire thing from the inside out as a Twitter fan. And I would love for you to take a look at it. Anybody that's out there watching, I would love for you to look at it. I just shared it again. Boom. Enjoy yourself. Love you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. And thanks a lot for joining us on Social 545. Jeff, you are awesome. And this has been an excellent discussion. Two things before we sign off. Subscribe to our next episode. Go to Saba's channel or go to her account and she's scheduled the next few out. And then also hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the show. We're going to create a list with all of our amazing viewers and just let us know what you think about the show. We definitely appreciate the love. So for now, I'm signing off. Fist bumps. Peace out. Take it home, Saba.
Thanks, everyone. See you guys next week, Thursday at 5:45.
You've been listening to Social 545. Be sure to tune in weekly to stay in the know of what's trending in social media.